have a country in disarray and a world on fire and go through 4 more years of chaos.
No drama, no vendettas, no whining.
He's not qualified to be the president of the United States.
He was thin-skinned and easily distracted.
Trump has not been perfect on these policies. I've made that clear many, many times. But Biden has been a catastrophe. So I will be voting for Trump.
That was then, that's now, and that's Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, throwing her considerable weight behind Donald Trump. She still cleared 20% of the vote in two of the most recent, down in Indiana and elsewhere. She is now putting her support behind a man who she pilloried on the campaign trail. And lots of other things to get to here politically. We bring in Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, also the former executive director for the Michigan GOP. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
She seemed prepared for that question. I mean, it was kind of packaged as well, you know, during an interview, she just came out with this. But obviously, she's been thinking about this a long time. How do you reconcile that as a candidate?
Well, I mean, listen, it happens all the time. If you think back to the Democratic presidential primaries, Kamala Harris said some pretty vile things about Joe Biden, yet now she's riding with Biden. So, you know, that's the process. If there's, you know, if you're running against someone, clearly there's something wrong with them. Otherwise, you wouldn't be running. And so it kind of comes with it. You know, she also, from a foreign policy standpoint, I think is more from the George W. Bush faction within the Republican Party than a little more isolationist Trump faction of the party. So it's not surprising that, you know, she wrapped this in foreign policy. And she does have, obviously, a very different foreign policy perspective than Trump does.
She also said it would be smart for Trump to reach out to her supporters, these college-educated voters, independents, younger people. So far, he has not done that.
Well, I feel like to the degree he can do that, he has been doing that. And when you look at polling, particularly amongst young people, I think maybe one of the most surprising demographics that is more open to Trump than in the past is younger voters. I mean, I've seen some polls that 18 to 34 age segment voters prefer Trump over Biden. And there's a lot of reasons that feed into that. I think the state of the economy, inflation, housing costs, et cetera, are making, I think, younger people a little more cynical about their future, and that's giving Trump an advantage. So I think to a degree that is happening, but it's not quite as overt as some of the outreach to, say, the Black community, where, you know, I'm actually seeing around the country the Trump campaign already spending resources targeting Black voters, which have historically, been overwhelmingly Democrat votes.
Jason, how do you think the endorsement by Nikki Haley is going to impact both her own reputation within the Republican Party and Trump's standing among Republican voters?
I think she handled it in a pretty clever way. She didn't really say she was endorsing him. She just said she was voting for him. So it kind of takes the whole endorsement debate off the table. Frankly, I think it became a non-story as soon as she did it. I mean, it's even, you know, reading the news this morning, it didn't get a lot of play in the media. As it relates to her base, I don't think anyone is ever surprised when a Republican throws their support behind the Republican nominee for president. And I don't think she'll suffer a penalty from the people that have supported her. And I think also, you know, looking at how she has continued to perform in primaries, even though she's no longer a candidate, I don't read too much into it. I think that is a non-binding way to express your dissatisfaction with Trump. But I think when it comes to November and the binary choice that folks have between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, that those people overwhelmingly will go to Donald Trump. And I think she said it herself that, you know, she's voting for Trump. And the reason is Biden is so terrible.
Which is a little bit like saying that he's the lesser of two catastrophes.
Yeah, I think there are plenty of people that feel that way about the choices that they have.
April was kind of a pivotal moment for the Trump campaign. For the first time, they out-fundraised the Biden campaign. How significant is that, and what does it do in terms of that momentum?
Well, I think it depends on what we see next month. You know, is this an anomaly or is this a trend? I do think a big part of that is the Trump campaign effectively taking over the Republican National Committee and installing their team in there. And I think the RNC and the Trump campaign are now operating as one unit instead of two separate operations. I also think that there was some fatigue with Ronna Romney. Her term was a pretty long one to be the RNC chair. And I do think that there was a bit of fatigue with the grassroots and maybe even with major donors. And certainly there appeared to be some frustration from the Trump campaign. So, you know, I think having a fresh team in there, I think having a more of a focus, I think the wake up call of the media reports of them being out fundraised in the past probably helped motivate a lot of major donors as well.
We were looking forward to the Senate debate up in the Mackinac Policy Conference, and it's been canceled. Alyssa Slotkin and Mike Rogers not participating. What happened there?
Well, I when you see what it was driven by, it's front runners protecting front runner status. I'm one who believes in debates, and I think from a strategic standpoint, I think it was a mistake because Alyssa Slotkin's never been in a primary in her career, and she's gotten away with pretending that she's some kind of centrist, even though she votes, you know, consistently with Democratic leadership. But, you know, when she ran for re-election in 2022, she had a 100% voting record with Nancy Pelosi, and not until the final months of the campaign did that drop down to, say, 96, because she threw a couple procedural votes just to change that percentage. But she's gotten away with this because she's never had to appeal to the progressive constituencies within the Democratic Party. And so in three congressional races, never pressed by someone from the left to say something embracing, whether it's wokeness or transgender or any of these things. And so there's not those opportunities to show people who she really is. And so I think getting her on the debate stage would have been an opportunity to flush her out.
And Jason, you know, the fear that Donald Trump may refuse to leave the White House if he's reelected has been this topic of discussion among political analysts and voters. And given his past actions and rhetoric, I mean, is that a valid fear?
I really don't think so. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of what he does is rhetoric. A lot of what he does, I think, is frankly just to trigger people to have these conniptions about these threats. I mean, listen, I think we have a pretty sound system, and I don't believe that the people around him would allow him to, you know, violate, you know, constitutional and legal restrictions. To me, it's something that Democrats are just ginning up to animate their base and to frighten swing voters. But I don't really think there's any serious threat there.
All right, Jason, we appreciate it. I'm sorry we're not going to see you up in Mackinac, and we will miss that Senate debate because I agree with you. It would have been enlightening, and both of those candidates need to quit hammering each other and start talking about the issues. So we'll see you soon, if not up at Mackinac.
All right. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, and also our former Michigan GOP executive director. Coming up, we've got this bird flu diagnosis now, the second one. It's making national headlines across the country, and it was diagnosed here in Michigan. How concerned should we be about that virus? That's next on JR Morning.